Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning, and you see here something unique. Normally, because the services have the sermons come out of the Bible reading throughout the week, I don't have opportunity to do a series, but I'm going to take the next couple of weeks. We're going to move away from the normal, in which is the case of going through our Bible reading, and stick to the story of Christmas. And, you know, there's times when we read a story, and here in the church, we've read the story of Christmas, and the upcoming candlelight communion service, we always read the text out of Luke, and we're blessed with the story of knowing how Jesus came and is here with us. But, you know, sometimes we get our focus on a nice story, or we get our focus on certain individuals in the Christmas story. For example, and it's correct, and even this week, I'll give you a heads up, our Bible study, we're not going to continue with the book of Jeremiah for the next couple of weeks, as we're going to look at the Christmas story in a little bit of a detail that perhaps you've not seen before. But anyway, when we look at the Christmas story, we might look at Mary. We may look at Joseph. We may look at the wise men. We may look at shepherds. We may look at angels and analyze. And all of those are correct things to do. But I want to look for the next couple of weeks at actually the message that was given. Because even beyond what the angel might have looked like, even beyond what was the condition of Mary, even beyond all of those other details, we have a message that is still applicable to us today. The birth of Jesus is more than just a pretty story. The birth of Jesus and the message given to the individuals, and we're going to take the next couple of weeks to look at the message that different individuals got. But we're going to look at the message because the message is the message of salvation. The message is the message that the church is also the carrier of today. And so if you will, follow along with me in the Gospel of Luke. This is where we're going to start this series, if you will. In verse 26 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." And so here we have the story, and notice at the beginning, the message, we're focusing again on the message, the word that the angel comes and gives. And you have to remember that angels are messengers of God. In other words, we have to begin our story even before the text that we just read. To be a messenger means that you are in charge or given over a message. This means that in this particular case, the angel Gabriel would have been called into the presence of God Almighty. And God would say, "I have a message to be delivered." And God would tell the angel, "Say this. Tell Mary this." And what was it that God wanted to communicate to Mary? At the very beginning, God says through his angel, through his messenger, "You are highly favored." Now that sounds like a nice thing to hear, isn't it? And you know, we can look back at the Christmas story and say, "Oh, I can see that." Because after all, she was going to be the son, the mother of Jesus, and she was going to conceive and all this, and this highly favored idea. But you need to understand that this message of being favored is directed to us as well. We are the people who have been favored. And I mentioned this even in the beginning when I was praying, because we are a people who have been blessed. We are a people who have heard the message. Just the fact that we have a messenger, whether it be an angel, whether it have been our parents, a pastor, an evangelist, somebody who came and told us the good news, that means that when we were there present, we are also the people who are favored. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Think about what's being said here. Paul is actually saying that we are to have, we're part of the brothers and sisters. If what Mary was going to hear, "Mary, because you are so favored, you're going to have this child. There are also spiritual moms and dads out there who have led us into relationship with Jesus. They were favored, and now we have also received that favor of God, because as brothers and sisters, we go around and we share the message, and those," in verse 30, "he predestined, he also called." Now, when Mary was called, the angel shows up and says, "You are highly favored. God has seen you." Well, that's what the message is to us. God knows who we are. God knows where we're at. God has a plan for our lives. Now think about it. When Mary was growing up, she probably made plans for her life. Most young ladies do. We know that she must have had some set of plans for her life in the fact that she was already pledged to be married. She was engaged. So she was probably dreaming about what her life was going to be like, how she was going to set up house, where they were going to live, all of the details of her life. She probably had a plan. But you know what? Mary might have had a plan, but God also had a plan. God already knew her. God already had a plan in mind for her. And what the scriptures are teaching us is God has the same thing in store for us. That those he predestined, he also called. Remember, Mary has this destiny. God has this plan for Mary. And so he shows up and he calls her. He gives her a call. And every one of us have been called the same way. We have this same favor of God upon us. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And so we are those people like Mary who are highly favored because we have heard the good news. How many understand that that just means I've been blessed? The fact that I can confess Jesus is my Lord and Savior means that I am one of the blessed people. It's not just Mary that was blessed. Jesus lives in me. Jesus is alive in me. It's not just a story applicable to Mary, but it's a story that is part of the gospel message itself, that we are favored, that God loves us, that God wants us. Mary was chosen to bear the Christ child, and we understand that. But we are also chosen to have the image of God stamped in our lives. We have this destiny. We have this favored status. When the angels see us, they're going to see us in the same light that they would see Mary as she was walking around. Because the same image of God is stamped within us when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Another key point given to Mary is that the Lord was with her. First few words of the angel. The angel shows up and says, "You are highly favored. Don't be afraid. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, you know what? That is a statement that we all need to receive. It doesn't mean that we're going to have everything easy, but it means that God is with us. Matter of fact, if we go to another portion of the Christmas story, Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 18, it says this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, again, we get to the angel, a message showing up, right? And it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. What did the Lord say? What was the message that God had already prophesied in the Old Testament, and now the angel wants to emphasize? He says, the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the angel shows up and says, Mary, you're highly favored. God is with you. Let me tell you something. God tells us the same thing. The message given to Mary is the message given to us. Every one of us who have received the gospel, this is the message. Not only was it something that the angel declared, that Jesus was going to hold on to this name, and it was going to be something about him, but it was going to be something about him that would last forever, a promise. Now, Mary probably had problems. I'm sure she did. But Jesus was with her. We have problems. We all do. But Jesus is with us. It came and became a promise that he gave in Matthew 28, verse 20. Now Matthew 28 is known in the last few verses, 19 and 20, to be the Great Commission. And although it compels us to move forward and do something for him, I want to focus just for a moment on the last phrase, because they were going to go out and they were going to face trials. They were going to face problems. They were going to have difficulties. And Jesus comes to him, and you can imagine at this point when Jesus is telling the disciples are saying, you know what, we're okay as long as Jesus is here. I mean, the things that Jesus did, it was convincing. I mean, before his crucifixion, there was all of these Roman army show up to arrest Jesus. And they step forward and they say, we're here to arrest Jesus. Jesus says, who are you looking for? And when he responds, he uses the same words that translated into the New Testament, into the Greek where we have the text. But he uses the same words that are found back in the Old Testament when God defined himself to Moses. And they say, we're here to arrest Jesus. And Jesus steps forward and he says, I am. And at that moment, all of the Romans go falling to the ground. Look at the scripture. I'm not going to take time to study it now. They're down. So you can imagine the disciples. Now Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has risen from the dead. And you know, they were afraid. When he had rose from the dead, they were hiding behind closed doors. And Jesus is coming to him and says, all right, I want you to go out everywhere and preach this gospel. And they're probably thinking, you know what, we can do anything as long as Jesus is with us. And then he says, now, it's something important I need to tell you. It's for your own good that I leave. Huh? The promise was always you are going to be there too. But why was he going to leave? Because he was going to send a comforter. And so even at this last stage, before he ascends to heaven, he tells them, go and do these things. And then he says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Can you imagine, though, the emotions of Mary? Now, if you have, and I'll be honest with you, I have never personally been in this particular state. If you have never been a little bit pregnant, and I haven't. Some of you might have thought a few months ago I was, and I've lost it. But nonetheless, if you've never been pregnant, perhaps you've been around somebody who is. Now, I'll tell you that there's one thing that kind of stands out, aside from the obvious physical transformation that takes place with a pregnant woman. And that has to be the incredible emotional mood swings. And why are you laughing, dear? It was. Up and down. Now, could you imagine Mary and Although we imagine her as, this is Mary, the Christmas story, and so meek and mild and so forth, I'm going to tell you that she was a woman that was pregnant. And then coming along a pregnant woman, her husband would come to her and say, you know what, we're going to have to travel. And it wasn't, let's travel in first class. I want to tell you that there had to have been incredible emotional swings in Mary, even while Jesus was growing inside of her. Because that's nature. That's what happens. Because even though Jesus was growing inside of her, she was going to have to suffer. Even though Jesus was growing inside her, she was traveling. Even though Jesus was growing inside her, when she gets to Bethlehem, she has this confidence, you know, God, you're taking care of everything. And they get there, oh, we don't have any space for you. Think about what that would do when you'd have the confidence come up because God is with me. And then all of a sudden, there's no room here for you. Or perhaps there was a time when they didn't have the food that they needed. I don't know. They would show up to feed the animals in the manger, but nobody brought us a plate of food. I don't know what was going on. How about when they had to flee to a foreign country, to Egypt, where she gets to raise her new family in a location where she's unaware of their culture. She's not with her family. Tell me that these weren't hardships. Just because Jesus is in her and now growing as a child later on in the time when they're in Egypt doesn't mean that she's all of a sudden free from all of the problems and all of the emotional up and downs. The same thing happens to us as believers. God's plan is that the same Holy Spirit, just like in the case of Mary, the Holy Spirit grows in us. Look what it says, and I'm just reminding you of the text that we already read previously in Luke chapter 1. It says in verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That's the promise to Mary. But I want to tell you that that's the same thing that happens to us as believers. You say, I have never been pregnant with Jesus before. The reality is that as believers, we are called to have the image of God stamped inside of us. Look at what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 and 5. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the plan of God was that everybody would have God placed inside of them. The Holy Spirit living inside of us. And let me just give you a little cue, because sometimes we get this conception about being baptized in the Holy Spirit means that's the end, I am done. But actually what happens is the presence of God grows in us. Just we can use the illustration for the sake of the Christmas story and for us to understand. It's like with Mary, you know, or any woman for that matter, the day she gets pregnant, there's probably very few people who know about it. Because it's not obvious. It's not. Matter of fact, my wife may not have even known for the first month. But then later on, the people that are on the inner circle, if you will, the people closest to the woman that's pregnant, get the inside information. And as time progresses, it becomes more and more obvious to people who perhaps weren't the ones told. They can just kind of see and observe. Because slowly but surely, there's a transformation that takes place in a pregnant woman's life. Her body begins to change. The way she walks is different. Or I should say, the way she waddles is different. It's different, right? And I will tell you that as believers, that's the same thing that happens in our lives. At the beginning, we may still have a bunch of junk hanging on to us. that God has yet to purify and clean off of us, but we have confessed Jesus as our Lord, and Jesus has come to take residence in us, but that's not where we're supposed to end. Jesus is supposed to grow in us, like the story, like the message given to Mary. Jesus grows in us. The Holy Spirit begins to manifest in us to a place where soon our family are aware of the transformation. But we may go to work and the people around us don't know anything about it. We may go into this grocery store and nobody notices. But like that woman that's pregnant, there's going to be a day, there has to be, otherwise it's not a real pregnancy. There's going to be a day where everybody is aware. A woman that's 9 months pregnant that goes walking into Walmart and then all of a sudden says, oh, everyone knows what's going on. Hello? It's not because she went up and said, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. It was obvious. Hello? And the same thing happens in our lives. When we are committed to the God, we are serving Him, our lives are changed, our lives are transformed, we have a holy walk, we walk differently, we end up with a holy descendant. In the case of Mary, she has the Son of God, Jesus, but we become spiritual fathers and mothers, and we have people who are growing up because of a spiritual blessing that we give, because the Holy Spirit is growing in us more and more every day. This is the message. This is the message that Mary receives at this moment. The message given to Mary is still the message of today. On hearing it, we find ourselves also being the favored ones. We know that we are blessed, and that blessing will last forever should we choose to accept it. The only thing that's left to mention, and we have yet to mention out of the verses that we read at the beginning in Luke's text in chapter 1, we ended with verse 37. Because in verse 38, we read, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Now, there's the scripture. You have to go back to the original mental picture that I helped you draw. When God called Gabriel in and said, Gabriel, I have a message for you. So in other words, Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel, I mean, he could be intimidating. When an archangel shows up and all of a sudden you're practically blinded by the light and he's speaking, I mean, that's why he said, you know, don't be afraid. I have a message for you. And he gives the message to Mary. And Mary sits back and listens to the message. And then it's almost as though Gabriel was given this last command by God before he left. He said, Gabriel, tell Mary all of these things and then wait for her response and tell me what she says. Because what we have here is this pause as though Gabriel stands back and says, Mary, I'm supposed to bring a response to the one who sent me. What do you say? Now, at that moment, Mary already probably had a plan. I mentioned it earlier. She was engaged. At that point, and there were people throughout the history of God speaking to them that decided to not accept. One of the famous ones, Jonah. You know, when God says, go, and he says, I'm leaving right now. But he goes in the wrong direction, right? There's people like that. Even the story that we hear here in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, her husband had a hard time with this message. So there were people who were having trouble with it. So in other words, Gabriel stands back and he'd already seen people resistant to the plan, resistant to the message. And he stands back and like, Mary, what do you say? And that's why it's so incredible, her response. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. It was only after Mary gave the response that he could go back and report. And the message remains the same to us. We are the people who are favored. We are the people who are blessed. We are the people who are called to have this overwhelming presence of God upon our lives. We are the people who are called to see Jesus grow in us every single day. And it's as though we hear the message, and then the angel steps back. He says, "What do you say? What do you say?" And the response that we give will be the response that we will eventually display to all of the world. Because if Mary had said, "You know what? I really prefer the plan I already have," everything would have been different. The angel would have said, "I'll go tell God." And Mary would not have had the issues of having to flee to Egypt. Mary would not have had the issues of being in Bethlehem with no room in the inn. Mary would not have had the issue of being so pregnant when she had to travel. Boy, life would have been a lot easier. But Mary didn't give that answer. In one moment, this young lady says, "What God wants is going to be way better than what I've ever planned. And even if there's going to be problems, I'm going to choose that plan." And she says, "I accept. Report back and tell God, I want it." And that's what God is waiting for all mankind to do in the response. He is waiting for us to say, "I want Jesus to grow in me more and more. I appreciate being favored and being chosen and being pulled out and hearing the message. I appreciate these." But it all is for naught if we choose to not apply it. If we choose to reject it. If we choose to say, "No, I like it the way I already have it planned." But if we choose to say, "You know, this is going to be a big adventure, because what this means is all of my plans are canceled. The plans that I have, they're not going to be. So I lose control of everything in the future." But wait. In response, I get the Holy One of God to grow inside of me and to change me and transform me. And that, my friends, is what the world is needing. We need people who are fully, and excuse the way I'm going to say it, but to coincide with the text, we need people who are fully pregnant with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need people who are on display, that it's not something hidden to the majority. It's not something that only their closest family knows. It's not something that only their intimate doctor or their pastor or their counselor knows. It's not something that is on the private part. We have moved forward because the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow in our lives. And the whole world begins to see that fruit. And you know what? The world can take advantage when we're fully pregnant with Jesus. They know that we're not going to be able to outrun them. We're not going to be able to do the things that perhaps they're going to be able to do. But in the process, Jesus living inside of us, we bring hope to the world. Jesus on that day was born, and Mary was a part of it. She was a part of it. And she says, "Hope has come to the world." And God is still sending hope. And we now are his messengers. It's time for us to say, "Let it be done to me just as you said." And let the Holy Spirit grow in us more and more, so that we would never be able to hide it. You know, a woman that's 9 months pregnant, doesn't matter how big the winter coat they put on, you know they're pregnant. And it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. A real believer who has the Holy Spirit completely growing in them will be obvious to everybody. And I challenge you this morning to allow God to do that in you. Let your response today be the same as Mary. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for the message given to Mary. And we thank you that it wasn't only given to Mary, but it was given to us. Because you have great plans. You want to use us. And like Mary, to bring hope into the world. And you are using us to bring hope as we fully manifest all of the things that you have developed in us, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Lord, all of the things that indicate to the world that we are filled with you. Your promise to never leave us is fulfilled in us. Because you're growing and living in us. We don't want to say, Lord, here is a small corner of our heart. You can live there. We want you to grow and completely occupy our entire life. Lord, we don't want you to be the God of Sunday. We want you to be the God of every day. We want you to be part of who we are in every breath that we take, every thought that we have, every action that we make. Lord, we want to be your servants. And we want what you have promised to be real in our lives. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come and grow in us. Now that beginning, Lord, we recognize might be just a seed. It may be so small, nobody even recognizes it as we leave this building today. But we also know that you are going to grow because we are going to give you, Holy Spirit, a priority in our lives. Nothing else matters. Our plans have fully been abandoned because we want more of you. Lord, let that be done in our lives so that this time next year we show more of the Holy Spirit than we do today. Let us be on display as those at the beginning of a procession showing who Jesus is. And we will give you the glory because we live and move and have our being in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. We'll see you at Bible study on Wednesday at 11 a.m.